I want to talk about a topic that relates to the parsha, and that's the topic of Yosef and his brothers after Yosef reveals himself. And I've spoken about some of this in the past, but there are other aspects that are really, I think, also important, and just trying to break it down. Yosef reveals himself a few days ago in Parshas Vayigash, Ani Yosef Ha'od Avi Chai, and then the brothers all hug it out, cry it out, they talk to each other, and it seems like everything is restored. It sounds like the brothers have reunited, and now there is Simcha in Klal Yisrael once again. Yaakov finds out, Yaakov starts coming down to Mitzrayim, and all of a sudden, everything is B'Simcha once again. But that is at least not the full story. There is definitely a part of the story where it seems that Yosef and his brothers have not reunited fully, that they're not completely together. And it's not Sunday night barbecues that are happening all the time now, where Yosef's kids are meeting Reuven's kids and Shimon's kids and Levi's kids. It doesn't seem to be like everything is so right. One of the places where you see that is that it says in Rashi that Yosef didn't have the brothers over anymore once Yaakov wasn't there. So once Yaakov died, the brothers saw that Yosef doesn't really invite them to the palace anymore. And they thought that they basically were not getting together by themselves. They were getting together because of Yaakov, at least when Yaakov was around. But the most glaring proof for this is that after Yaakov dies, the brothers say to Yosef, Abba said to forgive us. Abba said that you shouldn't take revenge on us. Why would they say that? If everything is glot, everything is clean, everything is now has been all problems have been put aside, so then why do the brothers have to lie to Yosef not to take revenge? So it seems like something is a little bit off, and it's not so smooth, Shalom HaYisrael, between them. And one of the places where this is the most explicit is found in a Machlokes Rishonim about, did Yosef ever forgive his brothers? Such an amazing, amazing idea, amazing Machlokes. Did Yosef ever forgive his brothers? And at first glance, of course he forgave his brothers. He cried with them, he hugged them, he told them, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. Afterwards they said, Abba said to forgive us. He goes, don't worry, Elokim chashav ala tova, right? Atem chashavtem alai ra'av, Elokim chashav ala tova. Kashbar worked it all out in the end, and everything is shalom HaYisrael, everything is great. So the pashas is that Yosef forgave his brothers. Just to tell you, Perushim that say that, because it's not so explicit so many places, the Sefer Chassidim says it, and the Radak says it. But that's it. Those are the two places where it says that Yosef forgave his brothers. However, there's this famous Shita of Rabbeinu Bachya. And Rabbeinu Bachya was a Talmud of the Rashba and considered himself a Talmud of the Ramban too. And Rabbeinu Bachya says that it never says in Chumash that Yosef forgave his brothers. Never. And because of that, the sin went unforgiven. And it's on this machlokas that I'd like to discuss, just for briefly, certainly until pizza comes, until you have to finish your pizza, different aspects of that machlokas. Because a lot of times, we compartmentalize Torah. Lumdus is for lumdus. Halacha is for halacha. Halacha is for halacha. There's different machshava. And we sometimes think that all of these things are disconnected. And very often what happens, at least in my head, I start discussing Parshanut, I start discussing Pirushim and Chumash, and boom, I start thinking Halacha, Lamdus. There's no escaping it. And then you go back to Parshanut, then there's Machshava, Musar. They're all connected to each other. So here, first I want to start from the Halachic realm. What do you mean that Yosef never forgave his brothers? Are you telling me he's still angry? He's still angry? Is that what happened here? Didn't he kiss his brothers after they revealed themselves? After Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, he then kissed them. So some Mefarshim say that kissing isn't the act of that an act of bechila, and this is found in the tshuva of Rashi. There's a shut Rashi that talks about a case where these two guys got into a fight. And one guy said to the other after he was wronged, I swear I'm never going to forgive you. Took a shvua. So the first question that Rashi has is, is that a shvua against the Torah? Because if it's a shvua against the Torah, it's not chal. So he goes, it's not a shvua against the Torah. Not to be mochel is achzarius, it's cruelty, but it's not anti-halachic, it's not non-halachic. And that's why the shvua is chal. But then he says, what about, this is the question that he was asked. The person wants to know, is the shvua chal? And number two, he wants to know, he wants to like hug, kiss, get together, have parties, have barbecues. He wants to get together with them. So he wants to get together with the other guy. So can he? So Rashi answers, number one, the shvua is chal. And number two, you can't hug, you can't kiss, you can't get together like this. Why? Because that would be mechila. To give him a hug and a kiss would be to be mochel him. And we see that by Avshalom and David, after Avshalom wronged David, David gave him a kiss, and then everything, it sounds like after that everything, there was no more history between them. And why is that? All we see in the Torah is that, all we see in the Tanakh is that David kissed Avshalom, because the kiss is the kiss of Mechila. And here he's not allowed to be Mochel, that's the kiss of Mechila. That's the Shalos and Shuvas of Rashi. So some Mefarshim say against the Rabbeinu Vachya, that what do you mean there was no Mechila? He kissed them. There was definitely Mechila. So there are two things, there are two problems or two ways you can understand Rabbeinu Bachya. One is, kissing can be mechila, but it's not always mechila. It depends what you're thinking. It depends whether you're just kissing because you want to try to make the brothers feel better, you're just trying to appease them somewhat, but you don't really feel any forgiveness. Or maybe that was one of the reasons, or some Mefarshim say, what are you talking about? It says later on in Parshas Vayechi, Abba said to forgive us. And now this is the Bakashas Mechila. And the Gemara in Yoma, in the 8th Perek, says, we learn from here, that since the Pasuk says, Sana Pesha Achecha, V'chata Sam Kiragim Olcha, V'ata Sana L'Pesha Avdei Elokei Avicha, since the word Na is used 3 times, you're supposed to ask for Mechila 3 times. So you see that this is an asking of Mechila, even though the kissing was last week's Parsha. So you see that kissing is not enough, Nishika is not enough. So that's, there's a pilpul bahalacha, that's the first step now. Pilpul bahalacha in weather. Kissing is considered mechila. Is a hug and a kiss considered mechila? Now we put our lundish caps on. And now, from a second perspective now. What do you mean he wasn't mochel? Was he still angry? Was Yosef still angry at his brothers? This is like a question. Is that the question that we're asking right now? So some Mefarshim say, yeah, Yosef was still angry at his brothers. And all those talks, all those words of, no, don't worry, I was sent here, Hashem guided us here, I'm here to sustain the entire family, I'm here to be the viceroy in Egypt. That was all just to placate the brothers, but inside he's still angry. Rav Steinemann is quoted as saying, according to Rabbi Nebachia, how could Yosef not forgive his brothers? Why didn't you just forgive them? He says, he can't forgive them, because if he's still upset, he can't just say machalach. He can't just say, I forgive you. I forgive you has to have meaning. I forgive you means I'm not upset at you anymore. And because he was so wronged, he just couldn't do it. Rav Steinemann did not feel that it was not from, he didn't feel it was apikarsis to say that Yosef was still angry at his brothers, okay? You can still say it. Yosef was angry at his brothers. His mechila, there was no mechila. He was still upset at his brothers. But there's another side to this, which is very, very beautiful. Beautiful Lamdash idea, which is, maybe Mechila is not like we think. What is Mechila? Is Mechila just to not be angry anymore? No. Maybe you have to be Mochel. To be Mochel, it's not enough to not be angry anymore. I have to grant you Mechila. I have to say the Peh. It's almost like I am giving away my right to be angry at you. It's a vitur. And you have to be mochel. And Yosef never was mochel his brothers. Never. He might not have been upset anymore. He decided not to be angry anymore. But he never explicitly said to them, I hereby forgive you. And this is a very fascinating machlokas of what constitutes mechila. Is mechila not to be angry anymore? It's very emotional, very natural. Anger, if I'm still angry at you, that's not mechila. If I'm not angry at you anymore, mimela, that's mechila. Or mechila is like an extra act. It's like a chalos. I have to do it. I have to do the mechila. And there's such an interesting machlokas in the Mefarshim. Mefarshim bring up at least 2 cases. every night in Kriya Shema Lamita, if you say Kriya Shema Lamita extended, it'll say, I hereby forgive everybody who wronged me. Now, does that work if you're still angry at someone? Let's say someone did something to you. Someone did something to you. And then at night you go, I hereby forgive everybody that wronged me. Okay? And that includes the person who wronged you today. But you're still angry at that guy. Is there mechila there? Does that count as mechila? So according to one side, that it's all about, am I still angry? So if I say the word mechila and I'm still angry, that, of course that's not mechila. Rav Ben Sion Abishol, one of the great Sephardi poskim, the Or LeZion, says that in Kriya Shema Lamita, when you say Kriya Shema Lamita, Arein Mochel, if you're not really forgiving the other person, if you're still angry inside, that mechila is garnished. That mechila is worthless. The Ali Shur, Ravolba, writes that on Erev Yom Kippur, when people ask you for mechila, and you say, I'm mechil you, if inside you are still angry at the person, then you're hurting that guy's Yom Kippur. He needs kafaras Yom Kippur, and you're lying to him. You're saying, I forgive you. You don't forgive me, right? Inside, you don't forgive. Just because I said it doesn't mean anything. Because mechila is all belave. Mechila is all belave. This is also the shita that we just mentioned of Rav Steinemann. Rav Steinemann said that Yosef HaTzadik, he was still angry, and therefore he couldn't be mochel. It's all about, is there still something in your heart that is just still pained, angered, maybe even wanting to do something about it? You wanted to hurt the other person. In other words, you still have a taina, a tviya against the other person. You still want something out of them. That's anger. That's the first shita. But then there are second shitas. Rabbi Yosef Engel says that when a person says Hareini Mochel, that mechila works. And if in your heart you don't believe in it, Dvarim Shebelev Einam Dvarim. We go by what you said, we don't go by what you think. And normally, when something is so heart-oriented, we do care about what you have in your heart. But here, that's not what we go by. We go by what you said. It's not just Rabbi Yosef Engel, a whole bunch of other Achronim, the Sukkah David, Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fisher, they also said this idea. Nafkamina for a katan. A katan, if you heard a katan, there are stories of the stipler that he heard a katan, or he was mitzayer a katan, and then he waited for that guy's bar mitzvah, he wrote it down, and at that bar mitzvah, when the guy became bar mitzvah, when the kid, little kid became bar mitzvah, he asked him for mechila. Because a katan is not a bar mechila. Is that so simple? If it's all about, I hurt the other person, he has pain in his heart, so a katan, as soon as he doesn't have pain in his heart, it's machal. But if it's like a chalos, it's something that you have to do, so maybe a katan doesn't count. This is the lamdisha idea of Rabbeinu Bachya. Why does Rabbeinu Bachya say that Yosef wasn't mocha? Because he just did it. He never said it. And you have to say it. And you have to do mechila bepeh. And I have to say, I hereby forgive you. That's one way of understanding Rabbeinu Bachya. And another way of understanding Rabbeinu Bachya is that maybe there's another part of mechila. And that is, you have to ask me for mechila. It's not enough. Let's say I hereby forgive everybody. I have nothing in my heart. I'm not angry at all. I let things go. Such an important yesod in life to let things go. I remember that when my father had a heart attack about 30 years ago, he was mopping on so many things, and like any little thing bothered him. And we had to teach him. We had to teach him to just, it doesn't matter. Just let things just roll off you. People could call me names. I don't mind. Call me, I'm not asking you to call me a name right now, but, call me a name. It won't bother me. I let it roll off. When a person calls me a name, I smile that the guy just, became so petty to call me a name. Doesn't happen that often. But anyway, I don't let it bother me. You have to let things not bother you. You have to let things roll off. It's like it's an important attitude in life. But even if you have that attitude, that person who wronged you might have to ask for mechila. He has to like put himself out there. He has to risk, and he has to like be mashfil himself. He has to like be a little bit submissive in order to ask for mechila. This is already found in the Achronim, and usually talked about in Elul. Famous Gemara, amazing Gemara about Rav and the Shochet. The Shochet wronged Rav. The Gemara in Yoma. Pei Zion, I'm just making it up. I don't know where it is. I think it sounds, maybe it's Pei Zion with Aleph. But Rav had a whole thing with the Shochet. The Shochet wronged Rav. And Rav decided to go visit the Shochet. so that the shochet will be able to ask forgiveness from Rav. And Rav was on his way, and he found somebody, a rabbi who on the way, and he said to the rabbi asked him, Rav, where are you going? I want to see the shochet. Oh boy, Rav's going to kill the shochet. And then what happened? He goes, and he puts himself in the doorway, and the shochet is cutting the bones of the animal. He looks up, and he sees Rav standing there. He goes, what are you doing here? I got nothing to say to you. Chutzpah right away, immediately. And then what happened? He chops like this. One of the bones hits his neck, bleeds out on the table, and that's it. And shochet dies. Rav killed the shochet, right? Remember, that's the story. The Rav killed the shochet. So already in the Mefarshim, the Sfas Emes, in the Mefarshim they ask, why does Rav have to go and seek out the shochet? The shochet wronged Rav. All Rav has to do is say, I forgive him. All is good. All is good. Oh, excellent timing. Guys, I don't compete with food. Let's pause. Can we pause it? Is that okay? Yeah? Guys, enjoy. Thank you so much to Gabe and Nathan. From this Gemara in Yoma by Rav and the Shochet is maybe, this is the proof of Rav Yitzchak Blazer, the famous Baal Musar, and he said that you have to be mevakesh. You have to ask for mechila. Part of that submission, part of that like lowering yourself, to have to like ask mechila from the other person is part of the mechila process. Part of the embarrassment of even asking for the mechila, part of that is part of the process of mechila, and you have to do that too. Now it's interesting. Does that help us with the brothers of Yosef? Did they ask for mechila? So I'm very confused about it myself. The Gemara says that we learn from this pasuk that you only have to ask for mechila three times, because it says b'shem Yaakov that you should forgive the brothers three times to the word na. But I don't know if the brothers really asked for mechila. They lied and this is a whole ruse. They told someone to say b'shem Yaakov, please forgive us, please forgive us, please forgive us. Was that an actual please forgive us? I'm not sure. I'm really confused by this. So it's possible to suggest the brothers never really asked for mechila. That's why Yosef was never mochel his brothers. So ultimately now we have three pshatim from the halachic perspective and the lamdashah perspective of what do you mean Yosef didn't be mochel his brothers? First pshat is he was actually still angry. And when he's still angry, you can't be mochel if you're still angry. You can't just like lie and say, I'm mochel when you're not really mochel. Second possibility is that he never explicated his mechila, because it's not about stopping to be angry. You have to do more than that. You actually have to say, I hereby give up any rights I have of complaining against you. And the third possibility is that he never gave them mechila because they never asked for mechila. And maybe part of the inyan of mechila is to ask. Now there's a tremendous Musar Haskil that's learned out from this Rabbeinu Bachya that says that the chait of Mechiras Yosef is still with us. Still with us even till today. And that's why the Asara Haruge Malchus happened. This is in Rabbeinu Bachya al Torah. So this is why the Asara Haruge Malchus happened. Remember how the story of Asara Haruge Malchus started? The king says to the rabbis, what's the punishment for somebody who does Goni Vishamacharo for kidnapping and selling? And they said, Tzchi of Misa. So he said, the 10 brothers of Yosef, right? Not Yosef, not Binyamin, 10 boys, they sold Yosef when there was never ever a Chi of Misa. And that's why you 10 rabbis are going to have to shoulder the punishment and have the punishment of Misa. And then they went, Tir Rabbi Shmuel Atzmo, trying to ask a Kadosh Baruch Hu, is this the Gzeira? And that was the Gzeira. The Gzeira was that these 10 rabbis are going to die. And these 10 rabbis was only part of the Kapara. It's still not Miskaper. Still hovering over us, the Chayt of Mechiras Yosef. What's the idea behind it? The idea is very clear. As long as we're still doing Sinas Chinam, then the Chayt of Mechiras Yosef is still wielding its ugly ramifications and reverberations of this Adera. That's the Musar. But I want to end off just with a very, very powerful idea. And that's from Mari Virabi, from Rav Rosenzweig. I don't know which classroom Rav Rosenzweig uses. This one? He sits right here. Why didn't you tell me? I wouldn't have sat here. So, quoting Mari Virabi in Mari Virabi's room, Rosenzweig had a long arichos in discussing why it wasn't possible or it didn't make sense for Yosef to fully forgive his brothers. This is something that I mentioned in the past, at least this part. The first idea is, why would Yosef not forgive them? It's so cold. Why doesn't Yosef embrace them? Why doesn't Yosef inspire that there should be reunions? There should be barbecues. It would be all up to Yosef. It's not the brothers. The brothers are like scared beyond belief, right? The brothers are like, they feel terrible enough. And Yosef should have forgiven them. He could be gracious enough and basically maybe start this full reunion and let bygones be bygones. Why couldn't he do such a thing? So the first reason Rosenzweig said was because this wasn't only a chait against Yosef. This was something that hurt Yaakov, you know. This was something that had other people. And Yaakov just died. And actually, one of these great Parshas Shavuot questions, bring it up at the Shabbos table. Already a great Shabbos table question is, did Yosef forgive his brothers? You bring that up at the table, let everybody start discussing it. It's a very fascinating question to discuss. But another fascinating discussion to have is, did Yaakov ever find out that Yosef was sold? Also not in Chumash. Doesn't say anywhere in Chumash that Yaakov knew. There are hints that Yaakov knew during the brachos in Vayechi, and this is Parsha Miteref Vini Alisa, which maybe means that Yehuda like came out somewhat unscathed from Mechiras Yosef. He rose up after the Chet of Mechiras Yosef. So there are allusions that maybe Yaakov during the brachos, but maybe that was like a nevuah. Maybe Yaakov didn't even know what he was saying fully. It was like, it was divinely inspired. So did Yaakov ever find out? The Ramban says Yaakov never found out. There are only three ways he could find out. What are the three ways he could find out? He could either find out from Yosef, he could find out from the brothers, or he could find out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Nevuah. So, I have nothing to say about the Nevuah. I don't know whether Hashem gave him the Nevuah, let him have this insight into knowing that the Mechira happened or not. I don't know. The brothers, you think the brothers told Yaakov about it? It's not so likely, right? You think one day they just go, Abba, I know you've seen Yosef, I know you're having like a wonderful time seeing him right now, but let me just ruin that for you for a second. What happened was, we all got rid of him. Why would they do that? I'm not even sure they should do that. It's not even clear they should do that. This is gets to the discussion of when you ask somebody for mechila and you're going to hurt them in the process, right? Even asking for mechila, like the Lashon Hara question. And then there's Yosef. Would Yosef rat out his brothers? Also an interesting question. Think Yosef ratted out his brothers? I don't know. Did Yaakov ever say to Yosef, whatever happened to you? You obviously weren't eaten by a wild animal. I wonder, what happened to you? What's your story? So he could make up anything. I don't know whether Yosef told him the truth or not. Such an interesting, it's an interesting question. If no one told him though, then no one asked forgiveness from Yaakov. And then Yaakov was wronged. Yaakov was hurt. Yaakov was a ruined man, right? Yemesh Nechaya, right? Ma'at V'rayim. The way he talks about his own life when Paro sees him. Paro says to him, he goes, how old are you? He asks him, right, what was the Lashon a few nights ago from one of the Talmidim? He asked him about the quantity. No, I know that. I miss you, man. I miss you. Beautiful. No, yeah, you're right. Kamei Yemesh Nechaya. He asked, how old are you, which is quantity? And what is Yaakov respond, the quality of my life has been terrible. It's not even the question. Who asked you that? Why are you volunteering that information? So I just want to tell you, Harbib Shat, that I think I saw this year, and it just rings true. Paro saw Yaakov, and said, my gosh, Yosef's a really young man. You look really, really old. How old are you? So he says, I'm not really that old. I just look old because I had a tough life. That's the simple pshat. You know, it's wow. You know, when you hear like a good pshat, it's just like, sounds good. Sounds good. I like that pshat. Anyway, Yaakov's life was so tough. He was wrong. He had so many years of suffering. And Yosef understood that you can't forgive the brothers completely. It can't be as if nothing happened. He can't forgive Yaakov's chelek here. I can't forgive something that I wasn't wrong. This was someone else's pain here. If you ever remember, I don't know who remembers the shiur that I gave. I gave a shiur once about whether we can be Megayer Nazi war criminals. Anybody remember that shiur? Nobody. Not one person remembers that shiur. Okay, maybe I didn't give it to you guys. It's a long time ago. Nazi war criminal. This guy wanted to be Megayer, a person who has blood on his hands. There's a book written by Simon Wiesenthal, famous Nazi hunter. And he has a he had a discussion with a Nazi who told him, on almost on his deathbed, how he murdered and massacred so many Jews, and he asked him for forgiveness. And he walked out of the room. He had no idea what to say to that person. This Nazi, who was on his deathbed, asked for forgiveness in the hospital, and just walked out of the room. After telling him a long, long, long story. And Simon Wiesenthal doesn't know whether he made the right decision or not. So he asked a tremendous amount of writers and thinkers, Jewish and non-Jewish, to respond to this. The book is called... Anybody? One person. I think it's called The Wallflower, but I'm not sure 100%. But... And somebody will Google it now. Give me a thumbs up or something. Anyway, and we have all these responses from different thinkers. And Heschel was one of the people... Did you think I was going to quote Heschel tonight? Nobody thought that. Anyway, Heschel answered. Heschel answered, and he quoted a story about Reb Chaim. So the whole story about Reb Chaim, but the punchline of that story was, is that you can't forgive something that's not yours. You're asking me for forgiveness. For massacring those Jews, you're asking me for forgiveness? You have to ask them for forgiveness. You can't ask them for forgiveness. It's not me. I'm reminded of the famous lawyer. The famous lawyer at the Eichmann trial. The Eichmann trial. Anybody who's never seen at least the first few minutes of the Eichmann trial in Israel, they used to play it on the television. I don't have a television, but I don't know. That's what they say. That they play it on the television every single year. I don't know. That's what they say. It used to play on the television every year at Yom HaZikaron or Yom HaShoah. No, probably Yom HaShoah. I don't know when. And the lawyer starts off. The lawyer starts off with, I come here with the weight of not just one man, but the weight of 6 million. 6 million accusers. It was like, it's really, you have to Google it just to see it, just a few minutes of it. It's really, really remarkable. And this is the idea that we're saying now. Yosef could only forgive Yitzchelek, but there was somebody such an aggrieved party, or Yaakov, Abba, look what you did to Abba. And then he died. You never even came clean about it. You never asked him for mechila for it. And maybe Yosef has to like highlight to the boys, to the brothers, that you know what you did was horrible. What you did was terrible and cannot be forgiven and should not be forgiven. And maybe like even as a stance, as an opinion that this is not something that can easily just, we can just move on. Second idea is that the selling of a brother is an act of Chilul Hashem. It is something so egregious, something so terrible. It's not a small little time avera. The idea of kicking a member out of the family, selling him, basically leaving him to be a slave. Who knows what kind of slavery he's going to have, what kind of life he's going to have, a non-life. Worse than living, right? This is where people would kill themselves rather than doing this, right? This is the life Yosef has now. This is a Chilul Hashem of epic proportions. Jew against Jew. I remember that after Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated, Rav Lichtenstein came from Eretz Yisrael and he visited his uncle Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. He came into Rav Aaron Soloveitchik and Rav Aaron Soloveitchik would say, a badge of shame, a badge of shame. A Jew could raise his hand up to another Jew and kill another Jew. Hayitachin, we were always better. For so long in history, we were just better. We were better, even in New York, even in America. Jews were just better. They were better. What do I mean better? They don't drink. They don't do drugs. They don't beat their wives. They're clean. Hiring a Jew is like fantastic. To hire a Jew means they're honest. All of these things. This is what a Jew represented. Things have changed somewhat in all of this nowadays. It's not as they're not put on that same pedestal anymore. But Jews should never lower themselves to this. It's the Chilul Hashem. Sefer Bereishis has this unbelievably horrible act, brother to brother. Brother to brother. That's a Chilul Hashem, and that's why that's not something that you can easily forgive. In other words, showing the brothers the enormity of their Aveira was important. Maybe Yosef was being like a Mashkiach of his brothers. Yosef got a dream that says he's in charge of his brothers. And maybe he had to continuously be the Mashkiach of his brothers. And the last idea, the third reason why Yosef could not fully forgive his brothers is because there was something lost here that can never be regained. Yaakov's guidance during all the years of the formative years of Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael is being created here. The brothers, these are the Shvatim, these are the future Shifteka. And they needed Yaakov's guidance. They needed the third of the Avos. They needed him. They needed him so badly. And so many years without his Nevuah, he was just Yaakov, he wasn't even Yisrael. All that time, just lost. The lost guidance. You know that when Yosef was sold by his brothers, so some Mefarshim ask, how did the brothers come to that conclusion? They had a Din Torah, and they were down him like a Rodef. They were down him like a Rodef. So some Mefarshim ask, so then what did they do wrong? If they had a Din Torah, and they were down him like a Rodef, then what's the problem? What did they do wrong? They followed, they went by the rules. And the answer that Rasalvechik said was, is that you can't down him like a Rodef when there's a Gadol Hador sitting right there. There's Yaakov Avinu. You have to bump it upstairs. You got to go to the Gadol Hador. To not go to the Gadol Hador and to be down Yosef like a Rodef, because in the name of Din Torah, what are you talking about? You needed to seek the guidance of the third Av, your dad, your father. And he'll tell you, you can't possibly do this. I'm not throwing you guys out of Am Yisrael. I'm not taking Yosef over all of you. You're all part of Am Yisrael, whatever it is. You need the guidance. You need the guidance of the Talmidei Chachamim. And Yaakov Avinu was the guider of the family. And that was something that was lost. So just looking at, like, one question. Did Yosef forgive his brothers? We started with halacha. Is kissing a ma'aseh mechila? Is it not ma'aseh mechila? We went to lamdus. What exactly is mechila? Is mechila just not being angry anymore? Or is there mechila bepeh? That you have to actually explicate that mechila? Or is the bakashas mechila part of the mechila? The Musar Haskil of Sinas Chinam. And then we went to, you know, just in Parshanot, why would Yosef not forgive his brothers entirely? And these three separate reasons.